Donald on a Kitchen talks about food. Donald on a Kitchen talks recipes. Donald on a Kitchen talks about lots of other things on Community Radio. Welcome to the Donald on a Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintos.
We gather here around our kitchen table to talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. And we come to you once a week. Live here from the studios of KHOI-FM Community Radio in beautiful downtown Ames, Iowa. It's sort of spring-like out. Things have finally turned green, and this is a busy time for all those fine folks that grow food for us.
And flowers,
all that stuff. It's a busy time for the farmers that feed us. Putting in spring crops and looking for rain, and here we go again.
Baby animals.
Oh, yes. Here we go, looking for another growing season. And another thing that we look forward to in the spring and takes us all the way through summer and into the fall is going out and meeting some of these farmers. We're going to talk about Practical Farmers of Iowa Field Days today. We can visit a farm, learn new things, and find out where food comes from. Donna, why do you like PFI?
Oh, you know, we used to be a nation of farmers. Some of us, even within living memory, like my grandfathers on both sides, were all farmers. And you had an understanding just from, you know, going to visit grandma and grandpa and milking cows and, you know, butchering pigs and things like that. Well, that doesn't happen anymore for the vast majority of people. We just eat. We see the food at the grocery store. You know, we kind of lost track of it, where it came from. And because of that, we don't really understand the complexities of what makes healthy food, healthy farming, you know. Do all those pigs affect our water quality in Iowa? Things like that. It just kind of goes right past most of the population. Now, that makes us kind of uninformed citizens and uninformed eaters. And so visiting farms is really, I really enjoy it. It's kind of like, you know, like if you walk around your neighborhood at night and the people don't have the curtains closed and you can look into the house and see how everybody's living, you know, in our own spaces, in our homes, on our farms, everybody makes personal choices that make them comfortable, that make them, and farms are businesses. So with a lot of moving parts, you know, there's crops, there's animals, there's food production, there's, you know, row crop production, there's many, many, many ways to farm, and there's always innovation going on, and weather changes, and, you know, soil fertility, and new information, and old information, and, I mean, there's just so much that farmers are very creative. I mean, they're all, you know, they're business people and they usually live there as well. So it's a very creative, rather artistic endeavor how each farm is arranged. So visiting farms, you see some of that care in those selections. And so Practical Farmers of Iowa has been having field days for many, 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 many years, and there's a lot of them. I often used to say when you get the list of what is going on for field days, if one wanted to write a book about contemporary agriculture in its most creative ways, you know, we're not talking about what is promoted in the universities as ag education or even, oh, the Farm Bureau or things like that. These are really creative things, and you could write a book by going to every field day and learn so much. It's just really fun, and it's very kind of the farmers to, you know, open their farms up, and it's also a really, I'm sure, a very important exchange of information amongst the farmers. You know, they learn from each other, and then us curious onlookers get to tag along, and it's just It's fun. And some of them are really good for consumers and maybe even some family-friendly events if you want your children to understand where their food's coming from. So we have with us today Jacqueline Vinner-Sinsky, who is the, what's her title? Practical Farmers of Iowa Horticulture, Senior Horticulture, what?
Well, we'll ask her. Welcome to our table today, Jacqueline.
Explain this to us, Jacqueline, who you are, and tell us about the field days for this season.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Donna and Lana. I'm really excited to join you on your show. We have spoken about this in the past, and, you know, field days are, and I'm really excited to get to talk about it today. So field days are a real flagship event for Practical Farmers of Iowa, because when we're talking about farming, the best way to learn, as you were saying, the best way to learn about what is going on someone's farm is to go to the farm and have the farmer share with you what they have learned, what they have tried, how they are doing it, demonstrate their equipment, demonstrate their practices, and just give people an opportunity to see, you know, what's going on and how they do it, and to see what it looks like on the ground, because that farmer-to-farmer knowledge sharing is what Practical Farmers of Iowa is all about. On-farm field days are the best way to do it.
Wonderful. Little history of PFI. How long has Practical Farmers of Iowa been in existence, and how long have the field days been going on?
Yeah, great question. So Practical Farmers of Iowa was founded in 1985. We're a nonprofit organization based in Ames, and our mission is equipping farmers to build resilient farms and communities. So field days have been part of what PFI is about from the very beginning. So we've been hosting on-farm field days since 1985. And, you know, we've had field days happen. Our primary field day season lasts essentially from June until, I think we have some that go into November this year. But on occasion, we've had field days happen, you know, in the winter, if there's something that happens only at that time of year, like sugaring maple trees, making maple syrup. You know, we cover a wide range of topics, and all of what we do is farmer-led. Our board of directors who lead the organization are primarily farmers, and the way we decide our field day topics is we listen to what people want to learn about. We call who they want to hear from, and we find a match between, who can show us, you know, someone really wants to learn about relay cropping. Who's doing something really interesting with relay cropping, and what farmer wants to share what their experience is with that. And so it's farmer-led from the standpoint of we're sharing information that farmers want to hear, and the farmers are the ones who are deciding what the agenda for the field day is going to be and what they want to share about their farm.
I think it's pretty amazing that when you stand in front of somebody and say, this is how I farm, this is how I do it, you're vulnerable. What's nice about it is that these farmers are willing to share not just their successes, but their failures too. And Practical Farmers does a pretty good job of making use of what is good and also what didn't work so well.
Well, and you have on the schedule for this summer, like almost, 40 field days or something?
Yeah, that's right. About 40 field days.
A lot. And, a lot.
Yep. It is a lot, and they are border to border across the state, and this year we even have a few in some neighboring states. We have field days happening in Illinois, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Wisconsin, as well as all across the state of Iowa this year.
Oh, amazing. Also, I want to mention that Practical Farmers of Iowa it has been growing and growing, and it's not just farmers. There are also people that just eat food that are involved in this, and also people, like you said, it's not just Iowa. It's people from all over. It's growing.
I like to say that
we've been expanding our footprint across the Midwest and engaging a lot of different farmers in adopting these sustainable practices.
this is just my opinion, but looking at the national picture, I think that Practical Farmers of Iowa is the most viable state farmers organization. It's just so much going on. We're really happy to be so involved and get a front row seat here in Ames. So yeah. We're going to look at the different options on this field day guide. Now, there is an online, if you go to the practicalfarmers.org website, there's the 2023 field day guide, so you can check out, and there's a map that kind of shows, so you could see what's in your part of the state or that sort of thing. But some of the agronomic practices that will be shared amongst farmers are, you know, of course, cover crops, no-till, creating on-farm habitat, rotational grazing, oxbow restoration. You want to say what oxbow restoration is?
So oxbow restoration is a way of forming stream, protecting areas for streams to build a natural oxbow, which means a kind of
curves.
Like a loop or follow a natural path that they would. And oxbows are really important because they slow the flow of water through the natural flow of water through a landscape, and they make the land more resilient and able to absorb more water and create habitat for species that live in those particular kinds of habitats that might otherwise be, you know, face habitat destruction if all the streams were made to be straight as a line through.
Well, the funny history of this is in the, I think, the 40s and 50s, there was this thing to straighten the streams on farmers' lands. You know, streams naturally kind of meander back and forth and make little curves around. So many farmers decided if they straightened the channels of the streams, they would have more cropland to plow. So a lot of stream straightening happened. And now we're finding that environmentally, not such a good idea, not a great engineering scheme. And so people are restoring the oxbows, means putting it back the way it was. We're kind of undoing all of that earth moving that was done, because it does help with the water quality.
Ah, good.
Yes, well said, Donna. You said it better than I did.
Good. Oh, well, I love the term oxbow restoration. It's just, picturesque, don't you
sounds
think?
Sounds like you're really doing something there.
Yeah. So there's several field days that talk about and probably show some oxbow restoration. Let's see what other. Oh, lots of things about cover crops, and that's a big deal here in Iowa. We'd like to have more. So cover crops are, you know, when the corn and the beans have been harvested and the land sits naked for, you know, 3/4 of the year. If you plant something, it keeps the earth from blowing away, among other things. And there's all kinds of different cover crops that can be grazed or some that can be harvested. But the idea is to keep something, some roots in the soil all year round. So there are many, many cover crop possibilities that are demonstrated on these field days this year. Lots of grazing and converting row crop into grazing land and different ways of grazing. We'll talk about some of these that I think might be fun to visit. Composting. What else? Some of them are food oriented, Jacqueline.
Yeah, Jacqueline, tell us some about the fun stuff that's coming up. And Donalana Kitchen we talk to people that like to cook food, and all of this stuff eventually ends up being food. But tell us about what's coming up and some of the stories that are going to be told this summer.
Oh, exciting. So, of course, I work with horticulture farmers in Iowa, and so that means people who are growing plants for people to grow, to eat and enjoy, people who are growing table food. So that means fruits, vegetables, and I say also enjoy, because it also has increasingly grown to encompass flower farmers. There is a growing number of flower farmers in the state, so we'll see a couple of those this summer. So
that's F-L-O-W-E-R, because we also have an F-L-O-U-R farmer, too. We'll talk about
exactly.
that later.
So flowers as in, yes.
Blooms.
Yes. The plant part flowers. So the first field day that I'll mention that I'm really excited about, and to be clear, I'm excited about all of the field days this year, but the first one that I'll mention that I will be hosting along with the farmer who is hosting it is called Maximizing Opportunity in a Small Town. This is on June 18th at Mitchell, Iowa, way up in northern Iowa. And the host of it is someone who you recently met on your show,
right.
Steve Strothheim.
We talked to him at length about his indoor geothermal powered greenhouse.
Yes, yes. So he has a really interesting situation about how he worked with a neighbor to plug in his greenhouse heating system into his neighbor's existing geothermal system that he uses for his grain dryer. And so we are going to go up and we are going to see this operation up at Steve's farm, Twisted River Farm, up in Mitchell, which is close to Osage in Mitchell County. So way up in north.
North Iowa. Central.
Yep. And, you know, Steve is such a, like, he's such a dynamic and engaging guy, and I just love talking to him. I thought your show with him was so fun. And
yeah, he was
his
like,
field day is going to be just the same because, what's that?
He's like a got a frog in every pocket kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And, you know, that really is his superpower, and it has served him very well as he's grown his farm because, you know, Mitchell's a very small town, like a couple hundred people maybe, maybe less. And he has really, like he owns an acre property in town. He has a lot of his indoor growing space. So like high tunnels or like greenhouses and hoop houses, and also is expanding more into flower production on his 1 acre property where he lives. And then also he has another like 2 acre property in town that he like works with a neighbor and he, you know, grows some stuff on his neighbor's property. And then he has his geothermal system. It's about 7 miles outside of town. So there's going to be a little bit of travel midway through this field day. But like, you know, and Steve is going to be developing an on-farm store. So he's going to have, and I think he also has like a Choose Iowa grant through the Iowa Department of Agriculture. And he's had some other support to help make that happen. But he's doing some really, he's just done such a great job of taking advantage of the resources available to him.
Yeah, he sounds like he's makes it up as he goes along. But
oh,
there's this. Let's do this with that. Yeah.
And he's so resourceful and he's such a doer. And I am just so excited to go and see his farm. And I, you know, I called him for like a 20-minute check-in ahead of the field day the other day. And I think we were on the phone for 90 minutes and we just covered a lot of territory because he just always has such interesting things to say. So this field day is going to be a great time.
Good.
Oh, and it's on Father's Day. And I think he might be working on getting some support from a local brewery. So there might be some fun beverages toward the end of
the day. He does think of everything. I think this is good. What else have we got to look forward to? What's another fun one?
I want to know about the rematriating Iowa's historical prairie, combining historical management techniques to foster modern conservation with Shelley Buffalo.
So Shelley Buffalo is a member of the Meskwaki tribe in Iowa, and she is going to be hosting the field day about rematriating the prairie. That'll be at Prairie City on Wednesday, July 18th.
No.
It's going to be a nice,
it says
long,
July
28th.
June 28th.
I'm looking at the wrong thing. Wednesday, June 28th. Shelley Buffalo hosting
yes.
Wednesday, June 28th.
Can you tell us what rematriating Iowa's historical prairie means?
So I think that is going to be about reintroducing like truly native species. And so rematriating is sort of like the idea of like bringing home to the motherland.
Okay.
And so it's about prairie restoration, using sort of modern conservation techniques.
From the Native American point of view, right?
I think that is embedded in the perspective that she brings. So I think that's going to be really exciting. So this one is actually going to be held at Neil Smith Prairie, Neil Smith Wildlife Refuge in Story City. Prairie City.
Oh, that's great. That's close. We could get there. And Shelley is a wonderful speaker. She's very knowledgeable. I'm sure it's going to be a really great field day.
Yep.
Then what about Greg Padgett's sheep shearing?
Yeah, so that's going to be an exciting one. And so this, I think, is
July 8th.
Has a farm down by Newton, and Greg is a really passionate fiber artist. He does some amazing knitting, and he is growing his sheep herd, and he is working on, harvesting fiber from those animals. So shearing his sheep and spinning it into yarn and making it into wool that he, you know, making it into wool that, or yeah, spinning it into yarn. And he does a lot of, you know, he kind of did the whole soup to nuts operation with the with raising the animals and weaving it and selling it and, you know, making it into wearable things.
That's very unique. We don't have a lot of that in Iowa, I have
to
say.
There used to be a lot of sheep in Iowa, but it has kind of dwindled down. A lot of the 4-H and kids projects still are sheep, so they're small herds, but well, it's one of those things we should know how to do, not if we don't do it ourselves, but shearing a sheep and actually what it takes to grow a sheep.
Yeah, and shearing is one of those things that, like, you can't really read a book on how to do it. You can, but you really need someone to show you. You really need mentorship, and you need someone to guide you through the process, and you need someone to show you how to do it. And so that's the idea of having this field day at Greg's house, Greg's farm. There will be people there to show you how to do it. Now, I will say, For safety and logistical reasons, this is a really limited size field day. It's not going to be one of our big public blowouts like some of them are. This one has registration required, and it's limited to 12 people. So that might be in high demand because sheep shearing is something that a lot of people are interested in.
Yeah, there'll be some serious sheep people there, I guess. So, now here's one that should be quite popular on July 12th. Agritourism and orcharding with the ecological focus at, this is the Maury Wills Family Orchard. That is going to be a real,
this one's going to be on Friday, July 14th. Mm-hmm. Maury Wills and his family are going to be hosting us at their orchard at Adel. So Maury, has an organic apple orchard, and he also has, an acre of organic peaches, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, yeah. Peaches in Iowa are scarce as hen's teeth.
I know. So I am very excited about that. And so they really have a beautiful property done by Adel. And Maury worked for years for the Iowa Department of Agriculture, and he is incredibly knowledgeable about organic fruit production and is very passionate about that. And so this is really going to be a great event. So in addition to having the organic, apples, and he also has a section of his orchard that, he struggles with the terminology, and we decided to call it, conventional-ish, because he needed to get some pests under control, and he had to resort to some conventional methods because the particular pressures of apples in Iowa are so aggressive that he needed to get the under control for those particular varieties. So, but he still uses organic principles as much as he can. So we'll have the apples, organic and conventional-ish, and organic peaches. And then he also has, instead of a corn maize, he has a sorghum Sudan grass maize.
That'll be nice. Wonderful. See, all of these things. And the term practical is important. Like you said, occasionally you do have to be aggressive about using something to deal with pests. So, and we get to talk to people who actually are doing things. We will be back after a short break here talking to Jacqueline Venersinski about field days. This is KHOI and this is the Donalana Kitchen, Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. Welcome back. This is the Donalana Kitchen. A little bit about that tune. I often try to connect up things on the Donalana Kitchen that have to do with food, and that one is called Mason's Apron. Now, I know it's not a kitchen apron, but I don't have a fiddle tune about a kitchen apron, so that's Mason's Apron. And for those of you who keep track of Irish fiddle tunes, there it was, by the Barn Owl Band. So we're talking about field days. Jacqueline, what more stuff is coming up? This sounds like a good summer.
It's going to be a great summer, Lana.
You mentioned prairie flowers.
We've gotten up through July 14th. Later that week, on July
16th. And 19th.
July 14th is a Friday, and then July 16th, that Sunday, we are going to be going to a farm called Minerva's Meadow. And the farmer there is Hannah Skates Kettler, and her husband Curtis is also going to be hosting it along with her. But this farm business is really Hannah's baby. So the title of it is Elevating Prairie Plants on a No-Till Flower Farm. So Hannah and Curtis have a really interesting story because I think they were both, they both had an archaeology background, and they had done some work with some archaeology in Iowa, and through that sort of roundabout way, they became really passionate about prairie in Iowa and prairie plants and learning about like the sort of geological history of the state and the role that prairie played in that. And they are so... They're just like prairie geeks, and so they're lots of fun to talk to. And Hannah is really having a really successful start to her flower farming career. So I think she started her flower farm in 2020, so she's in her fourth year now. And, of course, 2020 being the year that it was a good year for her to just experiment and kind of throw things to the wind and try a lot of different stuff and see how it worked. And they have a young family, and so they have a lot going on at their place. But she really tries to focus on celebrating prairie plants through her bouquets. So she grows a lot of different flowers, and like I said, she uses no-till methods because she's also passionate about soil quality and soil soil health. And so she uses no-till methods on her flower farm. And
let's interject for our audience and explain what no-till means.
Yeah, so instead of, like, a lot of conventional farming systems involve tilling the soil.
Plow it up.
Soil preparation. What's that?
Just plow it up, right?
Yeah. So tilling the soil through soil, for soil preparation. And like that really, over time, destroys soil structure and affects soil biology and results in a lower quality growing medium. And it affects the plants that can grow there, and it affects the just overall reduction in soil quality, which affects water quality, and our soils start to blow away, as we've seen in recent windstorms that we've had.
So you don't use a rototiller, right?
Well, We like to say that farmers need to do what works on their farm, but we really promote ecological practices. So I'm not saying a rototill has no place ever, but mm-hmm. I'm saying on Hannah's farm, her choice is that she uses no-till methods, and it results in higher soil quality over time that is, you know, is better able to absorb water, and during extreme weather events, having that greater absorption capacity in the soil makes a really big difference. And it affects how early farmers are able to get into their fields in the springtime. And as we are seeing more extreme weather events occur, farmers are choosing no-till practices to make their farming systems more resilient.
And there are, there'll be multiple field days on no-till farming.
Yes.
In terms of yep. not just flowers, but, you know, big row crop tilling yep. tilling things. So go ahead. So
it's really a departure from a lot of conventional systems, and it's hard to know what that even looks like. And so for people to be able to make the leap, and if they're even just curious about no-till and like what no-till could be like, it's really helpful to go and see it and see like, how does that actually work? What equipment do they use? How does it affect their yields? What do their crops look like?
Yeah, how do they get the seed in the ground if they're not tilling it
yeah.
and dropping
yeah.
it? Yeah, right.
It's a totally different system. And so it's really important to be able, that's the value in field days, is being able to go and talk to other farmers and see what they're doing and not just think about it in a theoretical sense.
Okay. So she's doing no-till flowers, yeah. which is what yeah. a prairie is. It's prairies are not tilled, right?
And it's not that her flower bouquets are strictly prairie plants, but she always integrates prairie plants into the bouquets that she sells. Because, as she says, they're great conversation starters, because you can sit around a table with a beautiful bouquet in the middle and you'll say, oh, what's this one over here? It's like, well, that's a purple coneflower and that's native and here's why it's so interesting. Or you can be like, well, that one is called Rattlesnake Master and here's why that's really interesting. Or, you know, all different kinds of things like that. So it's a great conversation starter, and it's a great way to engage, you know, everyday people in conversations about prairie plants and why they're important.
And 3 days after that one, on July 19th, this is the Carl Kurtz Field Day. Now I consider him the grandfather of Iowa prairie seed, and he has a beautiful farm.
Carl is right down the road from where Hannah and Curtis live. They are very close to it. And Hannah and Curtis are in the process of installing some prairie strips on their property. And I think that they have learned a lot from Carl in that process. So, there's going to be a nice walking tour of his really expansive prairie. You know, he's been restoring.
It says for 70 years he's been restoring his prairie. And his field day is about pollinators of the Iowa prairie.
Yeah. So this is a great habitat-focused event. And this one is also really cool, but people should be prepared when they come to this one. This might be a great one to, you know, have open to the public, but people need to come prepared for walking through tall grass. And you can bring like a picnic basket and a blanket and have a lunch out on the prairie. It's just sort of a bring your own picnic kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there will be lots of wildflowers happening and lots of pollinators actively pollinating on that day, I'm sure. So that one's going to be a really fun one.
Talk about inspiration. Carl Kurtz has inspired and taught a lot of us about prairies. And just what's out there and what can be done. He's consciously collected and harvested prairie seed, and his prairie and his seeds are growing elsewhere and helping Iowa to be a lot more fertile and environmentally stable. So thanks to Carl Kurtz. What else is coming up?
All right, so that one is happening on March 19th.
July 19th.
July 19th. March 19th. July 19th. On July.
I was going to ask about the Denise O'Brien and Larry Harris. They're two also
nice
well-known Iowa farmers who have contributed a lot to our understanding.
More inspiration. Yes, tell us about that one.
Yeah, so this one is real. This is a really great one. This is another one that is going to be limited in size because of the fact that it is an opportunity to try out tools. So Denise and Larry live down by Atlantic, and they have had a horticulture farm for years and years and years.
It's an organic one, and they've been doing this a long time, so they have tried everything.
And they are at the point where they have really scaled back, and they are continuing to scale back, and they're starting to think about farm transition. And so this event is going to be kind of multifaceted. Part of it is going to have a beginning farmer focus where they are going to work with their friend and neighbor and lifetime member of PFI, Kent Morris, who is just the loveliest human being and also a great proponent of tools and equipment and a great expert and a great resource for farmers to learn from. So he's going to share some of his equipment, and it's going to be an opportunity for people to come and try out some of these tools for horticulture farming. So horticulture equipment is really different from what you might see for traditional row crop farming.
Yeah, we're not talking tractors with 12 rows planters and stuff like that. This is for growing fruits and vegetables.
Still tractors, but much smaller scale and doing different kinds of jobs, right, for growing different kinds of crops in the field. So he has a lot of experience and expertise that he's going to share. And, this is just going to be a great chance for people to actually come and try this out. So the target audience members for this are people who are early in their vegetable farming career and or maybe looking to scale up their vegetable farm from a place where they're not using much equipment to a place where they're using a lot more equipment and want to build efficiency. So I'll encourage people to go ahead and register for this one as soon as possible as well if it's something they're interested in, because this one is limited to 20 people. But after the event with the tools is over, Larry and Denise are going to host a community meal to bring in, you know, they really want it to be a broader community event. So even if you don't register and go try out the tools, the horticulture tools, you can go and take part in a community meal, and you can, there's also going to be a farm transition meetup to have, there's going to be a sort of facilitated conversation about, like, you know, we're kind of in our sunset years on the farm. We want someone to take over this land because we want to just stay in agriculture, but, you know, we want to find the right person. I mean, those are really complicated and involved conversations. And sometimes it just helps to have kind of a farm transition Sherpa to lead you through the process. So we're going to have a farm transition meetup.
And this whole field day about the ways that they're encouraging beginning vegetable farmers are very, very important in our efforts to grow locally produced fruits and vegetables in Iowa and to begin to supply or grow the market share of what is locally grown for fruits and vegetables for Iowans to
Absolutely.
Eat, you know, so we don't have to bring it all in from California. And Denise has
Absolutely.
Been, you know, Denise and Larry have certainly been pioneers in this. And it's so gratifying to see that they can now reach out and, you know, teach a whole nother generation of maybe even more farmers that can benefit from their many years of experience. So this is important for our local food systems.
That's going to be a great event. And it will, like you say, Donna, it will build the resilience of our state to have more local food growers in, you know, on the land in Iowa.
Yes. Utilizing the wisdom of the elders. They've been there and they've done this.
That's right. That's right.
Good.
So the next day, July 14th, we are going to be across the state at Mount Vernon. This is a field day that has a food safety, an on-farm food safety focus. So as vegetable farmers start to scale up and try to sell into larger and larger markets, like maybe getting into their local Hy-Vee store or selling at a local cooperative or selling at a local school.
Or hospitals,
safety,
And any institutional buyers, right.
Things like that. Yep. They need to meet some food safety requirements. And vegetable and fruit farmers go through a lot of training to understand what those needs are. But another part of it is they come and have an inspection where someone who is a trained expert comes to their farm and says, let's see your food safety plan. Let's see your food safety practices. Show me that you're using safe handling practices to ensure the health and safety of that food.
The idea is we can't just throw it in the back of the truck and drive it to the Hy-Vee. It has to be cleaned and put in boxes and things. Things have to be done. Insurance needs have to be met, you know.
That's right. And so this all sounds very dry and boring when you think about meeting food safety requirements, but we are going to make this a super fun game. So Donna Warover of Morning Glory Farm at Mount Vernon is going to be hosting us, and she has a beautiful, gorgeous, pristine, amazing farm. We are going to stage some scenarios on her farm. We are going to stage some food safety violations. And when the visitors or when the field day attendees come, they are going to get a scavenger hunt. We're going to say, okay, go find all the food safety violations. And I've already been talking with Donna about this. So we're going to make sure it's all stuff that she's okay with. But, we are going to turn on-farm food safety into a game, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll make it really engaging and interesting, and that'll be a fun way for people to learn more about things they need to do, because it's not stuff that's immediately obvious unless you have a lot of food safety background.
Yeah, again, learning from other farmers, it is a good thing, and we're just touching the tip of the iceberg here. There is a whole bunch of stuff on this agenda. I want to mention this is KHOI. You're listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find out more at www.khoifm.org. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking about the upcoming Practical Farmers of Iowa Field Day list, and there's so much to talk about. I want to take a little time here to share a poem with you, because one thing about this list of farmers that you're going to be visiting is everyone is a hard worker. We like to be out in the sun. We like to do things. And here, I ran across this little poem by poet Marge Percy. It's called To Be of Use. It's about a good day's work. The people I love the best jump into work head first without dallying in the shallows. They swim off with sure strokes, almost out of sight. I love people who harness themselves an ox to a heavy cart, who pull like water buffalo with massive patience, who strain in the mud and the muck to move things forward, who do what has to be done again and again. I want to be with people who submerge in the task, who go into the fields to harvest and work in a row and pass the bags along, who are not parlor generals or field deserters, but move in a common rhythm when the food must come in or the fire be put out. The work of the world is common as mud. Botched, it smears in the hands and crumbles to dust, but the thing worth doing well has a shape that satisfies, clean and evident. Greek amphoras for wine or oil. Hopi vases that held corn. Now they're put in museums, but you know they were made to be used. The pitcher cries out for water to carry, and a person for work that is real. a poem by Marge Percy. So, what other farms and hardworking people can we visit this summer?
I think an exciting one is going to be the grazing a perennial forage chain. This is Beth Hoffman and her husband, John. Beth wrote the book, Beth the Farm, which is all about, you know, coming back and taking the family farm and doing grazing. And they sell beef. So that's on August 10th. There's the beef one, and then there's the pig one on September 9th. Pastured pigs in a wagon wheel pasture and at Nettle Valley Farm. And then there's eggs on September 16th, Pastured Eggs 101. These would probably be very interesting. You need to know where your pigs and beef and. And then, Jacqueline, on October 16th, the mushroom cultivation one. Can you tell us about that one?
Yeah, so this is a really exciting event. So Kevin Novak spoke at our PFI's annual conference, which takes place every January. He has a farm called Flavor Country Farm, and he grows mushrooms and other specialty crops for a very specific audience. Kevin's at Honey Creek, Iowa, right outside the Omaha Council Bluffs area, and he has a background as a chef, and he sells primarily to chefs and restaurants in the Omaha area. Almost exclusively his audience. So he produces for a very specific group. He grows, I think the figure is 800 pounds of mushrooms per week.
That's a lot of mushrooms. They don't weigh very much. It's like feathers, you know?
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty, and it's very involved. And I will tell you, the session, one of the reasons I was so compelled to have a field day at Kevin's farm this year is because mushroom production is completely different from a lot of other kinds of production. It takes place indoors, and you have to start with spores that you cultivate in your system, or you have to ship in spores from elsewhere. But he does them in-house. And so he has a lab that is basically like a clean room where he does that. And then he, you know, has to sort of cultivate them at different stages of their life cycle until they're ready to harvest and sell. But it's all indoor production. Kevin's also had some interesting trials and tribulations on his farm. He had a big fire last year, and so he's in the process of rebuilding a portion of his operation. He unfortunately lost his entire pack shed and commercial kitchen that he had on his property to a fire last year, but hopefully that'll be rebuilt by the time that we are there. And so he's going to talk to us about the process of growing mushrooms and how he markets them to this, this chef-driven audience. And then there's also going to be a tasting, because like I said,
I bet it'll be yummy.
So he knows all about that, all about how to create amazing food and prepare different mushrooms. So it really highlights their individual qualities and, how to do events. And he was an amazing presenter, and it was the best attended of all the horticulture sessions that I went to last year.
Oh.
And so I'm really excited for him to host us at his farm.
That's October 6th. And then the last one of the year is November 18th at our favorite farmers, Jeff and Earl Hafner, Early Morning Harvest. They grow their own grains and mill their own flour and sell it through, some is wholesale and some is retail. And they have a lot going on at their farm, and it's always fun to visit them.
They do. Yeah. The Panora area is so, so beautiful, and their farm is so amazing, and what they do is really special. So that's going to be a really fun one to go and attend, and nice and centrally located. So hopefully a lot of folks can get to that one.
Right. They do corn flours and polenta, and they're introducing a new oat flour blend that Lana and I have been sampling.
Oh, exciting.
I know. Because basically, I think how Earl decides what he's doing is, how do we use what we're growing? He and his son have been organic farmers for quite a long time. And of course, if you're an organic farmer, you can't just grow soybeans and corn. You have to have a third, you have to have a third rotation at the very least, and preferably many more. So Earl started out, well, what's he going to do with the wheat? What's he going to do with the buckwheat? What's he going to, and he decided to just mill and, you know, build a whole business in the last 15 years based on what his farm produces. They also have cows and chickens and tilapia and everything you can imagine.
Yes. Well, this is a wonderful, wonderful lineup. And Practical Farmers of Iowa prides itself on farmers willing to take a chance, willing to try new things and go out in different directions. This is a wonderful opportunity to find out what is going on. And again, I mentioned before, farmers' willingness to share, to open their farms and actually talk about what is going on. And the list of producers, everything from traditional grains and corn and beans. Of course, we need corn and beans, but then all of this other stuff that we eat too. So, would you have anything else to say in closing, Jacqueline?
Yeah. So you're right, Lana. You know, it's all parts of agriculture are so important, and there's room for all different kinds of production systems. But at PFI, we are, like I said, farmer led, and our vision is one of an Iowa with healthy soil, healthy food, clean air, clean water, resilient farms, and vibrant communities. And we mentioned at all of our field days that we really want these events to have to reflect our values, which means we welcome everyone. Farmers lead the exchange with experience and knowledge. Everyone who attends brings their curiosity, creativity, collaboration, and sense of community. And we value resilient farms now and for future generations, and we value the stewardship of land and resources. So all of these things are on our website. And if people would like to learn more about PFI field days and register to attend an individual field day, they can do so by going to practicalfarmers.org, and they will see links to our field days there.
Good. And I hear there is a rumor that there is a printed field guide that will be available, and it's kind of nice to have that too. So is that coming out soon too?
Yeah, those field day guides are like a glossy magazine kind of thing, and they are fun to look through, and they should be hitting mailboxes for our members this week. And if someone wants to have a field day guide mailed to them, they can call our office and give us their information, and we'll mail them one. Our office phone number is 515-232-5661.
Good.
Ask to have us send you a field day guide.
And I want to mention another thing, too. I'm really glad that in this case that we have GPS available now, because finding your way around, you get to know Iowa, drive around and find these farms because they're worth the trip. Thank you for joining us today, Jacqueline. Jacqueline from Practical Farmers of Iowa. Very good. Well, that's fun. We've got our summer.
We've got a busy summer coming up here.
There's so much going on. Yes, always a good resource, always a good bunch of people. I want to mention another thing, something going on this weekend. The Central Iowa Barn Dance is having one more dance this spring, Saturday, May 27th. You can find out more at our Facebook page, Central Iowa Barn Dance
Association. Are you the dance caller?
Yes, I will be calling, and the Barn Owl Band will be playing their music. Yes, they are. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. We come to you live Tuesdays at noon, repeated Tuesdays at 7 p.m., or anytime at khoiafm.org, or we have a podcast.
Yes, wherever you listen to podcasts, just type in Donna Lana, that's one more, D-O-N-N-A-L-O-N-N-A, Kitchen, and there we will be.
How nice. My name is Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Excellent Engineering by Mike Murphy. Thank you. eat good food, and enjoy life.